Sounds like training Dragon Ball Z training.
Yeah, it's, I was just about to say that. It makes me think of Dragon Ball Z. That
like Master Roshi's like, Goku, lift this cow.
No, that, until he's it's that story grown. Arc where Gohan is in the wilderness and Piccolo is like supervising him. Uh-huh. And Gohan has to learn how to survive.
Yeah, and Piccolo's training, strengthening training is like, lift this baby cow until it's a full-grown cow. And then you'll be really strong or something. And then there's like a montage of him lifting like 365 days. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 19. I'm Time Asus.
And I'm Bat Snacks.
And welcome to the show. It's episode 19. Can you believe that we're already almost in the 20s?
No, I cannot believe that.
Me neither.
That is pretty unbelievable to me.
It's extremely unbelievable.
It's so, almost... Oh, go ahead. I was actually working with some of our content recently on a project I was doing this week, and I realized we have over 24 hours of content on the internet.
You were working on a project with on our a
separate,
content?
Yeah, it's sort of a separate thing.
What are you doing with our content?
In
a different capacity, though.
All right, I have a whole story.
All right.
So it started out, I was reading about a scripting language called R.
Okay.
And... R. I was reading about how you can do data mining and
it's a very futuristic scripting sounding language. R. It's,
yeah.
It's, Sorry, it's, go ahead.
It's really data cool mining. And it's really easy. But yeah, I was reading about how it has all of these really cool web mining features. Mm-hmm. So my idea was I could build a like artificial intelligence, or not like I use that really loosely, like a really dumb artificial intelligence.
A dumb intelligence, if you yes. will. Gotcha.
An artificial idiot version of us.
Right, got it.
So in order to do that, I needed like a source of our material to look at to sort of base the intelligence off of.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I should explain AI. Like, I wanted to make like a crash course, pretty much, that AI. Would just say random things that...
Based and, like, on what assemble, we've said.
Yeah, assemble okay. sentences based yeah, on yeah, other yeah. things that we've said.
Gotcha.
And to get source material, I thought that I would grab some of the closed captions from our show.
Uh-huh.
YouTube does automatic closed captioning.
Yeah.
And so I thought we potentially had maybe like a whole lot of text that came mm-hmm. from us, but I realized that YouTube doesn't use punctuation when it does closed captioning, so
which is
it
needed,
was impossible to get the robot to say complete sentences.
Oh. So what, would it just say giant run-on sentences?
Yeah, it would just be... It would never use a period anywhere. It would start and end sentences kind of in the middle of sentences.
Because
it didn't know where... Because, I mean, when you're constructing a sentence, you can tell it to look after the period for the beginning of the sentence and to end it, at, you know, at
yeah,
a period.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But yeah. if there's no period, it'll just start a sentence, like...
Whenever it wants.
Whenever.
In the middle of something, yeah. Well, that's a shame.
I was doing that, and I realized we have like over 24 hours of show on the internet, and that's pretty cool.
I don't think I've ever have 20. I don't think I've ever made 24 hours of anything before.
I definitely haven't.
You know what I mean? Like, so basically, someone out there, if they really want to, they can just spend like an entire day listening to us talk about whatever the hell we're talking about that particular day.
Yeah, the text file of all of our closed captions is like 25 megabytes of words.
Wow, that's very large. I mean, I know it doesn't sound large, but for text that's huge.
That's just text.
It's enormous.
Yeah.
I would like to see the text file just for fun. Just to see how...
It's uploaded onto our Google Drive.
Oh,
We could make it available.
I'm going to look at that. We should make it available for our listeners.
Like, if you really want...
But it's going to be, like, really wrong because YouTube probably gets a lot of stuff wrong.
Yeah, not only is it one 25 megabyte run-on sentence, like, there's not a period anywhere. But it's also YouTube's bad closed captioning.
Yes.
And it, I think it does like a much worse job when there's two people talking.
Oh, yeah. Because it tries to know focus what's going on.
Yeah.
Mm. What? What? How did you get it, though? Like, the bot is able to grab stuff?
Well, R has a web mining package that lets you, like, take information from websites.
And so it's able to grab stuff from YouTube captions. That's cool.
Yeah.
Neat.
I read a tutorial. You can also, like, grab Google News, Yahoo News, Twitter stuff. It's pretty cool. Neato.
Cool. That's exciting. So, how are we doing in the social media presence stuff this evening here?
We're doing good.
Are we?
No.
Are we doing real good?
So, presently...
furiously typing away.
Presently, we have 8 followers.
On Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
I think 6 of whom are real humans.
Wow. And 2 of which are probably robots, but...
Yes.
Hey, robots count, right? Kinda, sorta. Not really.
Alright, speaking of robots counting, I was thinking about this too.
What?
If I did create an AI version of us,
yes,
and the AI version of us tweets to people.
Sure.
Are those our tweets or the robot's tweets?
Ooh.
This is like a...
It's a weird question.
It's a philosophical kind of question.
Well, we're digging deep early in this episode, I guess, huh? I think those are the robot's questions. They're not really my questions. They're just using... But let's assume, for the sake of argument, right, that the robot, like, is exactly like me. Like, he, like, knows me, like, to a T, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Basically, it's... you were using, like, Markov chains or something, is that what it's called, right?
Yeah.
So, for our listeners that are unfamiliar with it, it's basically a giant, like, database of states and, I don't know, answers to those states, right, basically?
Yeah, it makes a table of the most common words, and then it starts at a random word, and then follows the most probable word from there, and just keeps going until.
But you could theoretically give it a word, and then it finds that word, and then knows what word to use next, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yes, but the way I set it up is it just starts at a random point, finds the most probable next word, and just moves kind of down the tree.
So let's take that one step further, and like, there's an AI that like is programmed to, like, given some input of, like, a thought that someone gives me, I would say blank. And the robot knows exactly what I would say in that situation. So it's basically like a one-to-one simulation of me. It's not, like, identical to me because it doesn't have any original thoughts. But it, like, everything that I've recorded history have said in response to something...
In your whole life.
It has the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
So effectively... If it's saying everything I've already said, then it's effectively stuff I say. So it is me. But it's not going to get anything. If it starts saying new things, then it's not me anymore. It's a robot. That's my two
cents.
Then
it's a separate, entity,
yeah.
Entity in existence.
My 2 cents on that whole conundrum.
I think that technically they would be your tweets. Since you created the robot.
Oh, because, like, I own it.
Yeah. Like, it came... Even though it's maybe creating things that you never even said or hadn't said before. Like, it's using something old to create something new that you haven't said, but something that you could potentially say. You still made the robot.
New information.
Yeah.
But
you still made the robot,
that's
so...
True.
Technically, everything the robot makes is yours.
But I don't want to be associated with the robot.
But yeah, like, what if the robot says something bad?
Like, that could be a bad thing, though, like, right? Like, you take everything someone said, then you, like, mash it together, and then you output something. And if that thing is bad, then people will be like, you said that. I'd be like, no, it was the robot that said it. I didn't say that. And like, well, the robot used stuff you said in the past and, like, created it. So then you get in trouble. I don't know. That sounds...
What if it said something really bad, though? Who would get in trouble? You can't punish
robot. You would get in trouble for that. That's why I'm not going anywhere
near
that. Not that I say controversial things, but, like, I don't trust this robot to, like, get me, in my opinion, down 100%, so no.
Yeah, you could have said, like, three totally separate things that are fine on their own. And it mashed together, that
became, like, a horrible thing.
But when you put them together...
They're horrible. It's a horrible statement. So no thank you, I don't want any part of that. I mean, it'd be a cool experiment, but I'm not putting my name on it. I'm not saying, like, these tweets are generated by, here's my name and address. You know, that's not happening.
Yeah.
So what else is going on with you before we get into not too much. Strange news and stuff? Not too much?
Yeah.
You had a very long nap today, and I was trying to wake you up, and you wouldn't stir.
I woke up at the time we agreed on, a minute or so late.
Yes, that's true.
And then my alarm had been going off for like 20 minutes, and you had sent me like 5 texts, but...
I sent you 2, to be fair.
Yes.
And you had to run around your apartment to catch your breath. That's why, if anyone's wondering why you were like out of breath at the very beginning of this episode, it's because you were right before running around your apartment.
Yeah, I frequently take naps when I... when I come home.
I know, because you work early. Okay. Anything you want to get into? Anything else you want to get into before we launch into stuff? Or...
I don't think so. Did you have anything?
No, not really. Just, yeah, I have some weird news stories for you today.
Oh, let's hear those, then.
Normally. Do you want one around a real animal or a fake one first?
Let's start fake and then move to real.
I knew you were to start fake.
Yeah.
Okay, so there has been an argument going on currently in the international, I didn't know this was a community, the international Bigfoot community. Okay.
Okay.
Where they are arguing over whether or not, if Bigfoot was found, should they kill Bigfoot? Which is a strange question. And there's an actual organization called the Gulf Coast Bigfoot Research Organization, or the GCBRO, the GCBRO, if you will. And they attempt to track down and shoot Bigfoot, Sasquatch-type creatures that supposedly, quote, attack people's homes, farms, farm animals, and pets in the deep south. But not everyone approves, because they would basically be shooting Bigfoot and they could kill him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, why do...
Yeah. So what is your opinion on the Bigfoot? If we found Bigfoot tomorrow and someone was like, oh, it's Bigfoot, we shouldn't shoot Bigfoot.
I mean, we obviously shouldn't shoot it, right?
Not unless it attacks you, I guess.
I mean, if it's self-defense, yeah, but we don't just, like, go out into the wild and let's go kill that dolphin.
Right. You need, like, a hunting license for that.
No, well, you can't just shoot a dolphin.
I didn't mean for dolphins. I meant for other animals.
Yeah.
Dolphin hunting. That would be, like, the darkest timeline, right? Under the current presidential administration, we'll have, like, dolphin hunting.
Dolphin hunting permits. You can...
They'll issue them out, like, every summer or something.
You go out in your boat with a safari outfit, and you're just like, there's one right there! <It's>
like, or whatever, I can't make the dolphin sound. Oh, that would be so depressing, because the water would get all red and stuff.
Oh, that's not good. No, they shouldn't shoot... I mean, Bigfoot isn't real, as far as I know.
But what if he was real? And here's the other ethical question, right? Bigfoot is supposed to be very man-like, like human-like, like almost human, like almost intelligent, but not quite there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a chimpanzee, but smarter.
Yeah. So, like, ethical ramifications, like, you're almost killing another human being, almost, but not quite, because it's Bigfoot. You know?
Yeah. I mean, Bigfoot. If Bigfoot exists, is obviously an endangered species, because we never see them.
So then it'll be protected just right out of the gate under, like, the endangered species thing.
Yeah, so they shouldn't be shooting them.
So don't shoot Bigfoot. So that's a final call on that.
That's my final answer, yeah.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I was just...
There's a Bigfoot, like, running at you and he's about to kill you.
Which happens every day, basically. Somewhere.
According to them, probably. But...
No, I mean... The other thing is, like, how are you going to get proof without shooting Bigfoot, other than taking a picture, which people are obviously very bad at doing?
Yes.
You know, like, that's, they don't have a very good track record of taking, like, obvious, like, undoctored photographs of Bigfoot.
Yes.
Like, the only way to prove Bigfoot exists is, like, either capturing it alive or, like, killing it and then being like, here's his body, biologists, check out Bigfoot, you know. But, what are you going to do? Now we go to Australia for another weird story.
Mm-hmm.
There's a zoo in Australia that is the only supplier of a antivenom known as the funnel web spider antivenom.
Okay.
And this is like a very venomous spider in Australia. And they're the only supplier since 1981. This Australian Reptile Park is the zoo, right? And they're the only supplier of this antivenom. But they rely on people capturing the spiders and milking the venom and sending the venom over to the zoo in order to create the antivenom.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, they didn't get enough antivenom, or they didn't get enough people capturing spiders and sending them in, so they're low on this antivenom.
Okay.
And they're eventually going to run out, and then they will have a bunch of Australian whatever spiders on
loose. So, this is kind of like a public service announcement. Like,
it
hey,
is. A PSA
we'll pay
link.
You.
So, the thing that I thought interesting about this story is, you know, not only are this, like, zoo asking people to, like, send in antivenom, like, to donate venom, they're asking people to catch and milk live venomous spiders. Like, and not just, like, not you know, they're asking basically any, like, average Australian person, man or woman, to just be like, hey, if you're out in your backyard and you see an Australian funnel web spider, can you just put that thing in a cup and then milk its venom out and send it right into the Australian Reptile Park? Because we could really use that.
Yeah, they're not asking for the spider. They don't just want the spider. They want you to milk the
spider. I think they take it either way. They probably frown on you just sending the spider in, though. Because the problem with sending a spider in, right, is if it's dead, the venom probably, like, you know,
goes bad.
I don't know how it works.
Yeah,
like, I'm not an arachnidologist or whatever, but I'd assume if it dies, it goes bad. So you'd have to either send it in live or milk the venom and, like, keep it refrigerated or something, you know.
Yeah, and I don't imagine these funnel web spiders have a lot of venom, so milking them is probably extremely difficult and, like, a really delicate process.
Here's a quote. With an appropriate jar and wooden spoon, you can flick the spider into the jar so easily, says Australian wildlife guy named Tim Faulkner. He's the park's general manager. We've been doing this for 35 years and no one has been hurt. So there you go. So that's your PSA if you live in Australia. Please supply Tim Faulkner and the Australian Reptile Park with antivenom.
They're low this year.
They're low, and they're going to need it. Because what I hear is the Australian web funnel whatever spider, it's coming back.
So there's a pretty similar program to this in Florida.
Mm.
Did you know that?
No, I did not.
You can capture diamondback rattlesnakes, and animal control will pay you for them. I don't
really?
Think they expect
live
you to...
Live diamondback?
Yeah, it needs to be alive.
Wow.
I mean,
that's
I
scary.
I wouldn't do it, because...
But
one,
you can
they're
do
really
it.
Big. Two, they're really aggressive.
So you gotta figure someone out there, that's like their career, right?
Yeah.
Like, I capture live diamondbacks and I send them into the, what, the wildlife something or other?
Yeah, it's like some animal
control
or something.
Something. I wonder how much they pay for one live diamondback.
I was talking to someone about it. Apparently, it's like $90 a snake.
That's not that good.
They're pretty popular, though, in some areas around here. You could probably get,
yeah,
like...
but you're risking your life for this snake.
But, I mean...
like, I would expect, like, a few hundred bucks, at least.
You have to imagine that you're a snake man, though.
You, like, get, like, 50 of them a day or something.
Yeah, like, you live in...
in a shack.
In a shack on a swamp.
Let's paint a picture of what this... of what Crocodile Dundee of the Florida rattlesnake. So he'd live in, like, in a shack in, like, the Everglades.
Yeah, he lives in the Everglades on a preserve. He has
like,
one of those...
an old TV that gets, like, one channel from, like, the antennae or whatever.
Yeah.
He has what?
I was going to say he has one of those boats that has the air fan on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's
yeah,
the Everglades.
The airboat thing.
Yeah.
And he has, like, an old, like, 22 caliber rifle.
Yes.
From, like, 1912 or something.
And he has a wooden spoon for catching the snakes.
Because that's how to do it. You need
yeah.
the wooden spoon.
He's got the snake spoon.
This spoon was passed down to me from my great-grandpappy, who used to be a Florida snake wrangler.
I'm a third-generation snake man.
Is it snake man or snake wrangler, would it be?
I don't know.
I like snake man. It's more
simple.
I
like snake man.
Snake man. I got a whole family of snake man. Snake men.
And snake women.
My daddy taught the snake women. So in like the olden days, they would like cook.
They would cook the snake and get the skin
and
for
make
boots. Right?
It was like a whole operation. That they
had. Yes.
This is so stupid.
This is something that's probably real, though.
It's really happening. This sounds like I don't know. This sounds like a History Channel like original series. Right
yeah,
here. Snake Man.
Snake Man.
And it captures the snakes. And like, okay, so like the wildlife thing. Probably has like a size limit, like he's not allowed to capture babies or something. So
oh,
like he
yeah.
gives,
he has
so
one
he
of
gives,
those fish sticks that you measure the snake
no,
on.
No, but what he does is since they're snakes and there's no real illegal to kill them or whatever, he captures the big ones and donates them. But the little ones he puts in like another basket and then like the snake woman of the house like slaughters
raises
it
them.
And cooks it. No, it cooks it.
Okay.
Oh, or you could raise it.
Yeah,
that's an
he has like
idea.
Snakes in his house.
That's good. That's kind of gaming the system, don't you think?
His kids like play with the snakes
like,
and stuff.
Then he like breeds more so he can yeah. turn them into the wildlife. He turns in like 50 a day or something.
Yeah, there's one episode where a snake gets loose in the house.
In the house. And like the kids are there. Mm-hmm. And then like it's like 20 commercial breaks like after one after another. Because
yeah.
they don't show anything happening. It's just like a quick like shot of a kid's face like with his eyes
over there?
Bulging. It's like bah! And then like commercial break. And then it does it again and again and again. Yeah, Snake Man coming to the History Channel today or near you. Well, not near you. Coming to the History. That does sound like a History Channel.
I would watch that show.
I would watch it for like a week and then I'd be like, I'm done with.
Yeah,
Snake
Man. I would see three episodes.
I think they'd run out of original content real fast. Because it's basically the same thing every day. Like he's hunting snakes, and that's it. Yeah, but he could have his whole life. Like you could really have a whole snake operation there. You catch him, you know, you have your family raise a snake. When they get older, then you donate them. The ones that you do catch that are ready, you are not donate. You turn in immediately and you get the cash. And then the ones that are like, maybe they don't take like gimpy snakes at the wildlife.
He's got like a crooked tail or something.
So those you kill and you like feed your livestock or something. Or
you
make
and
you boots
eat the
out
snakes.
Of it or something. You know? Like, I don't
yeah.
know. That's a thing, right?
It's not a bad life.
I mean, it's kind of a bad life, but I don't know. All right, well, we should move on. Do you
yes.
want to do some... Oh, I had some personal news I wanted to share. I forgot.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Thank you for reminding us.
I don't know if I want to talk about it.
No, we need to talk about this. Because it's
are you
cool.
Sure? Are you
I mean,
sure
parts of it are cool. Other
Are you sure we should talk about it?
Yes. Rink, let's go.
Okay. Well, all right. Yes. So I recently tried to put a game I've been working on for like 6 months or so onto Steam. And you have to go through the green light process, which if you're unfamiliar with is you putting like a trailer out there and people, random internet strangers, voting up or down whether or not they like your product or not. And oh, you have to donate $100 to like some charity in order to like get submitted to begin with. But it's a weird experience because people are really like, it's not, you would think it'd be like, oh, these people are voting for game, like what games they want on Steam. You'd think these people would be more classier internet folk, you know, that are like,
yeah, like
more,
a small group of indie devs.
Yes, or a small group of enthusiasts.
Right.
No. I mean, there are probably some of those, but it's essentially what you'd find on the comments section of YouTube or, you know, the comments section of Reddit or any other major. So it's not doing too good on there. It's doing quite bad, I will say.
So they can upvote it or downvote it?
Yeah, they can say yes or no.
Oh,
like, basically,
I didn't realize they could say no.
They could say no, and they do. And they do. It's basically like, would you play this game if it came out on Steam? And then you're like, and then as a you know, customer or whatever, you're like, yes or no. Or you could say, ask me later, I think. And I don't think the no votes mean anything. Like, they don't count. It's just how many yes you get.
Right.
The only thing that no votes mean is, so as the developer, you can see them and feel really bad about yourself.
Yes.
You know, like, oh, I have 90% of people think this is complete garbage. No, it's not that bad, but I mean, it's not that much better than that.
They can't even play the game. They don't know.
Oh, I know. And so, like, I think the other thing is, like, people are very, you know, humanity in general is very, like, I don't know. They see things for face value, and they're not very, like, imaginative.
Right.
So, like, if they see something and they like it, they're like, great. If they don't like it, then they're like, well, that's bad. If they don't really understand it, or they're like, oh, that could be cool, but I'm not going to spend 2 seconds thinking it through, then they'll just drop it. So, like, you know, the attention span is short. So,
yes.
I don't know. It's tough. And the other thing is, like, it's a multiplayer game, and you need 2 people to play it. And I think that probably, I don't think that's like, people don't really like those games anymore.
I agree.
I mean, I do.
I mean, I do, yeah.
But I don't think anyone else does. I mean, other people do for sure, but it just seems like it's a smaller, I don't know. It's a smaller group at the end of the day.
Yeah, especially so, the Steam audience. I feel like if you're buying a game on Steam, you're either playing it by yourself or with strangers.
Yeah, like online or whatever.
Yeah, Steam is not really the, well, you're going to go over to your friend's house and we're going to buy a Steam game.
Although there are some, but the ones that are there are already, like, really popular via some other way, you know.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot that are just kind of out in the wayside. And so I don't think people give us really a chance, which, I mean, I understand, but it's still discouraging. It's dumb because, like, there are a lot of games that are, like, clearly not anything that are doing way better than anything that I have on there. So there's one that I was looking at, and it was basically, like, the nothing game, and, like, it was a blank. It was a blank, like, trailer with, like, just blackness. And then, like, the text said, like, do nothing or something. And that, like, made it in the top 100 on the first day.
Yeah. I bet you that makes you feel really good about spending your time and energy and passion.
It does. So it's just, like, I get why they do it, but it doesn't, like, I feel like there needs to be a better way to, like, I don't know. Someone from Valve needs to sit down and look at these and be like, that's good, that's not, that's good, that's not, you know. And if they say mine's not good, that's fine. But at least someone is like, I don't know, at least they have some, you know,
an authority there. Thinking critically about it. Or...
Right, exactly. So, like, I don't know. It's strange. And so, like, I think they wanted to be like, oh, this way we won't have to curate anything and people will just be able to vote for what they want and nothing bad will get on the store. And it's like, no, that's not what happens. Stuff, bad stuff comes through all the time because it's funny, you know.
Yeah, like they made meta, an ironic game.
Yeah, the meta internet humor comes in and people are like, ha ha, and then, you know, and then you have whatever.
You have the like nothing
YouTube
game.
YouTube Celebrity Simulator or
whatever, yeah.
You know. Anyway.
I played your game and I thought it was really fun. We actually played it for hours.
Thank you. Yes, we did. That was like 6 months ago. It's a lot different now. I mean, it's not a lot different, but it's better now.
Yeah.
But yes, I appreciate that. See, I feel like with something like that, it's something that Steam doesn't really work. You have to play it and be like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah. You know what would maybe work? A trailer of us playing.
Like with like a camera in the bottom or something?
Yeah, like us playing live, you get like a what is it, a hand cam so they can see the button presses. They understand that when you press this button, this happens.
Yeah.
And this is what makes it fun.
So like it's more of like a watch these people play instead of watch the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because it's kind of, I mean, it's sort of like a party-ish kind of social game.
I would say it's like it's very arcade-y, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, well, that depressing subject is over now. do you want to do some Reddit questions?
Yes, let's get into some Reddit questions.
I have so many today. Like, I have an incredible amount of Reddit questions today.
All right, you can get us started then.
Don't know why. Okay, so this one's really dumb, and if you want to skip it, that's fine. Just say skip. I'm gonna let you skip questions today because I have so many of them.
Got it.
What's a fun fact that can change your life? I don't know how to modify. Like, I'm not gonna say anything. Just first thing comes to your head. Fun fact.
So there's this stock called Berkshire Hathaway. One share is $250.
This doesn't sound fun. Just
no, it's
all right. Go ahead.
It gets fun. Share is $250,000, and if you own one share, you get a discount on car insurance from Geico.
Okay.
It turns out that there's a Class B version of that stock that is only about $150 per share, and you still get the Geico discount. So all you need is one share of this stock, and you can get a discount on your car insurance.
Really?
Yep.
That is a fun fact.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
And it will help you. How do you know about that?
You
do that, don't you?
I went to BerkshireHathaway.com, and it's you should see this website. It's like from the 1970s.
I'm gonna go right now.
No, it is my favorite website on the internet.
Is it home services or whatever? So do you own the stock?
I own one share of Class B stock.
And well, I can already tell it's doing really well because it's not even loading for me. So
no, it's the perfect website. You should definitely look at it. Like this website is what I wish every website looked like.
Is it Berkshire Hathaway? Oh, Inc.
Berkshire.
Oh my god, that's really bad.
Isn't it perfect?
It's just like minimal nothing. It's white with just links.
Yes.
Like white black. A message from Warren Buffett.
There's one table and four cells and then text and links.
This looks like a website I made like on GeoCities like in 1995 when I was like 7 years old.
There's no annoying scripts or pop-ups or stupid, unnecessary, resource-eating crap. It's just simple.
My favorite thing about the website is when you click on a link, it takes you just to like a blank HTML page of like what the link is. And then like there's no navigation there, so you have to click back to go to the main homepage. So please go to BerkshireHathawayInc.com because this is really good.
That's simplicity is beauty. I'm a fan of this. A beautiful website.
They have a news thing though, where it collects. Oh, I bet you they didn't update this manually though.
Yes, this is like a. We're gonna log on to the FTP, and we're gonna.
Reminds me of a funny story. So, like back in the day, I used to make like websites when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
For like random stuff because, you know, that was the fun thing to do in the 90s or the early 2000s. So I had a website, and I don't remember what it was for. I think it was for, like, video games or something, you know, obviously. And, you know, you want to put, like, news, you know, in your site and be like, oh, this new news is announced. Let me post some news or whatever. Yeah. There's no good way to do that back then other than having, like, PHP form or, like, linking to some, you know, you had to do some coding magic kind of thing, basically.
Or you had to just make a new page in HTML.
Like, so what I did, so what I did every time I wanted news is, like, I would have to log into an FTP, download my index.html page, and then, like, insert, like, code, like, a HTML block of the news, but, like, pretend that it was, like, updating live or whatever, so I'd put, like, the date and, like, the exact time at which it's posted and all that stuff. Just reminded me of that.
It was a better age. We didn't have our Facebooks and our Twitters that did that automatically. Like, if you wanted a feed,
I basically had to fake that. I had to fake a feed. Like, and then if the page is too long, I'll remove that and I'll put it in my news archive that HTML page, but, like, manually. Oh god, fun stuff. Berkshire. This is a great website. I'm putting in my bookmarks right now because I want to come back to the site.
So that's a fun fact that helped my life.
this one's really weird. What do you wish was edible?
Ooh.
And you can justify it however you want.
That's a weird question.
That's a weird question. I told you I had some weird ones today. What do you wish was edible?
Do you have any?
You gotta have something that you wish was edible. Top of your head, it's the first thing that pops in your head.
The ball pits in McDonald's or whatever. Do you know the colorful?
That was edible?
You could eat the balls. They're colorful. They look tasty.
Do you know how many germs are on those things, though?
Well, not used ones.
Like, new ones?
Yeah.
So they'd be, like, really big candy, basically?
Or, like, amusement parks or something. I don't know. Something that looks fun and cheery and...
Wait, you'd eat in an amusement park now?
Yes.
I'm very confused.
It's like Katamari Damacy, except...
What kind of amusement park would you enjoy? Would you be more of a water park guy? Or would you be like...
That's gross.
Would you be more like of a Disney World kind of guy?
I don't know. All
would
those
you be more of like
really
a
dirty,
like a Universal Studios, or would it be more of like a, you know, roller coaster specific kind of place? What do you think would be the tastiest? You could have some wooden, you know, those old wooden kind of amusement parks.
Okay, how about I change my answer? Optical media, like CDs and DVDs.
Oh, you would eat those?
Yeah, you eat them and you get the information from
them. Oh, I like that. See? This is now we're cooking with gas here. So,
yeah,
like
you make someone a mixtape and then you hand it to them and they're like, "Wow, thanks." Nom, 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 nom.
And then they're like, "I got it now." So it's basically like a disk drive for you
in your mouth. And you're like, "Wow, my gums are bleeding. That means it's really good."
That's how you know it's working.
Yeah.
The more your gums bleed, the more information you've absorbed. What if humans evolved like a disc reader on their body?
Where do you stick it?
I don't know. Maybe it'll be like above or below your mouth.
Like in your belly button or...
No. I imagine like... I'm trying to think of that thing.
You stick an SD card in your ear?
Oh, what is that console? Sega... the add-on to Sega, you know, it was like
32X.
I don't remember. Remember the one that you like put another console on top of the other console?
I think it was a 30. I don't know. I didn't have one.
Yeah, I think you're right at 32X. Yeah. But anyway, so like it would basically be that with your mouth, right? You'd have your regular mouth, and then you'd have like a add-on under your jaw. You know,
so you're like the alien.
Kind of, yes. So you'd have like a protruding add-on under your jaw that has like a slot for like CDs and stuff. But at this point in the future, it'd probably be like, you know, flash media, maybe like a flash drive.
Yeah, I think optical media is going out.
Yeah, so like a USB slot. Oh, there you go. So you could evolve a USB slot in like your neck or something.
Here's what happens.
Right.
Corporations in the future lobby to change human genetics forever to contain this disc reader, because the company that does it knows they'll make a lot of money, because you can only use that type of media from now on in society.
Oh, so like what's a flash drive company?
It's a SanDisk.
So SanDisk lobbies to like keep it to be a flash drive, because they know we'll move past them. But
yeah,
but their platform is like ethics, you know, like, oh, we don't want to change humans. They've already evolved.
Changed them.
They've already evolved.
No, like SanDisk are the ones that changed the humans.
Okay.
Yeah, like they somehow changed vaccines, right? That's a popular conspiracy.
Yes, that's it. And so we like grew flash drives in our necks.
Yeah, SanDisk made us grow flash drives in our mouth.
In our neck or mouth, whatever.
Neck, mouth.
It could be under your tongue.
Yes.
You're just agreeing with that. No, anyway, so they... What?
That's a good science fiction story.
Is it?
A storage company changes SanDisk human genetics so that they can have a monopoly on the type of... On data.
Storage.
On storage.
Media is used.
Information is very important in the
future. So we basically have to use flash drives forever, because that's what we've evolved, or that's what we use as humans.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're stuck with.
You're stuck with it. Can't get an upgrade. I mean, you could, but that would be expensive.
It would be painful.
That sounds like a Philip K. Dick story right there.
Yeah, it sounds good.
So it would be Under the Tongue, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the name of the short story, Under the Tongue.
Under the Tongue. It's like Over the Rainbow and Under the Tongue.
But it's like, it's multi-meaning, because like under the tongue is like stuff you don't talk about.
Oh, it's like, yeah.
So, you know, but it's like data. And so you're communicating without speaking. Whoa, see? It's a deep title. Under the Tongue.
I like that.
So you would eat. So back to the question, you would eat.
Yeah, I'll eat like flash drives and CDs and DVDs and stuff.
Until we get the evolutionary whatever.
Yeah.
To evolve.
Until SanDisk takes over the human genome.
Which you never... I mean, it's only a matter of months at this point. Right? you've got three wishes, but one has to be evil for the other two to happen.
Yeah.
What's your evil wish? And it could be varying levels of evil.
Am I allowed to counteract the evil wish with my other good wishes?
It doesn't specify, so yeah, sure.
I think it's no, you're not allowed. Because otherwise there's no point.
It's a boring question.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm going to flood the world, and then I'm going to unflood the world, and then I want $1 million. Who would ask for $1 million, though? I mean, I would ask for like $1 billion now. Sorry, go on.
What would you wish for?
How about we do this, okay? You provide... I'll provide the evil wish, and then you have to like make two wishes that
make up for it. Yes. I like it. Let's do it.
Okay, so my evil wish, it's gonna be real evil.
Okay,
so you have some work to do. So I would cut, like I would massively shrink the world's output of crops like a lot.
Yikes. So you're gonna starve half the world to death.
Yes. So now you have so now you have two good wishes that you can use. You can counteract them, but you just can't undo what I did.
Okay,
we're looking for a greater good completely.
First wish is I want teleportation for me.
For you, just you.
Just me. I don't want everyone else to be able to teleport.
You're not really counteracting the world hunger epidemic.
Yeah, but let's worry about me first.
What a guy.
Come later.
All right. Let's worry about me. Screw those people that are starving. It's fine.
Then.
And then I would fly to the moon and have a colony there. So while
and
the
eat it because
starves.
It's made of cheese.
Oh, there you go.
No. I would then wish for Star Trek technology. Like a replicator.
That's very general. Okay, so a food replicator.
Yeah.
All right. That's
so we could move to a post-scarcity society and I could teleport around in it.
You'd be like the most powerful person on the world.
I would choose not to be, though.
As the teleporter man?
Yeah, I would not be the... Yeah, I would be low-key.
You'd be a super... You can't be a low-key teleporter.
Well...
How do you be a low-key teleporter?
You just do it when no one's looking.
He's like, no one's... You just do it in bathrooms?
Yeah.
Oh, this reminds me of... So, there's a question that I had that I was posed once, and it was basically, what superpower would you have? And then you have to make it so it has, like, a really bad catch to it. Mm-hmm. So, one of the answers that I came up with was, you could teleport wherever you wanted at any time you wanted, but you could only teleport... to and from the bathroom of 7-Elevens.
That would still be awesome.
But it's anywhere in the world, right? Like, they're worldwide, you know? So if you wanted to go to Dubai or something.
You would want to mix up your locations a lot, because after a while, 7-Eleven would clue into this guy just appearing out of bathrooms.
Oh, like, they would see you on security cameras and
stuff? Yeah, they could look up security footage and be like, this guy is appearing out of bathrooms across the world. What is up with this?
See, that's why I don't think the low-key teleporter would work, because eventually someone's going to notice, like, this guy has been in, like, almost two places at once. Like, he was in, like, you know, China 1 hour, and then he was in, like, you know, Seattle another, or whatever, you know, and then he was in, like, Italy an hour later, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but then someone you can just play notice. It off, like, what, are you saying I'm a teleporter? Like, what, are you stupid?
that's not real. The government would, like, secretly kidnap you and start experimenting on you and stuff.
But you can teleport away.
Oh, man, this gets out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you can teleport, but then they would know you're definitely a teleporter.
Yeah, but they're not going to tell anybody.
Okay, so your big plan is the government captures you because they notice you're a teleporter. And then you're like, I'm not a teleporter. And then they start experimenting on you. And then you teleport while you're in their captivity. And then they're like, well, he's obviously a teleporter. And then they probably go all X-Men and try to, like, exterminate you and stuff.
Yeah. You got to keep it low-key, though.
You can't keep it low-key. I just said you're going to get captured by the government. And then you let the government know that you're a teleporter by teleporting away. Like,
but the trick is they never find out.
So how do you... So you just teleport to, like, alleys and stuff.
Yeah.
Basically.
And, like, at night.
At night.
Even though, like, if you teleport somewhere where it's night, you're going to wind up in the day at another place. Like,
yes. Oh, that's true. You'd have to have, like... You'd have to wear a lot of watches.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you'd have, like,
oh, that
whole...
would be so cool. Like, you could just have a phone, but I would rather have, like, 9 watches.
Like, yeah, you could totally have a phone with an app, but you want the whole getup.
No.
You have, like 24 watches, like, 12 on each arm or whatever. And you'd
one
wear,
for
like,
every
a,
time zone.
You'd wear a trench coat or whatnot, I'm sure. And you'd have those watches that you could, like, synchronize and, like, you could, like put, like, you know, like, diving watches. Like, you can be like,
yeah.
Okay, I've been here for 5 minutes or whatever. Time to leave or whatever. You're like, all right, I'm going to Hong Kong. So you, like, adjust one of your watches. And you're like, you're like, I need to leave in 5 minutes. And then you're like, phew.
That's exactly how I would do it.
Would you wear, like, a fedora and a trench coat? That's
oh,
how
yeah,
I
of
imagine
course.
looking. And you'd always teleport to places that are raining, like, currently.
Yeah.
Like, it just happens that way. That's just how it is.
Yeah, I always check my phone for the weather before I teleport. And, you know, it would have to be a beige fedora and trench
coat.
I don't like the black look.
I'm aware
I like
of
beige.
That. I know it's yeah. beige. I got that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like people would notice you, though. But, you know, you could just do the back alley stuff. What if you could teleport to, like, different time periods?
Whoa.
No, but seriously, if you can teleport, you can... move around the world really fast, and you know what they say with, like, if you move fast enough, what is it, like, backwards
time
against the location
down.
Of the earth
it no. doesn't go backwards
You could go in the future, though, right? If you went with the rotation of the Earth fast enough, you could teleport into the future.
Yes.
Like,
I guess.
Right? I mean, theoretically?
It depends on how this teleporting thing works.
I think it's just limitless. Like, wherever you want, you can just, boom, teleport to.
Okay, so if it's like, instant transmission, like Dragon Ball Z, wouldn't, like, time just, like, totally pass you by the first time you used it? Because you move so fast.
Maybe. I don't know how that would work. This is very complicated. Like, we need, like, a physicist here to, like, tell us how this would work. What if you teleported, like... This would sound really dumb. What if you teleported, like, a foot behind you, but you did it in such that you're teleporting forward around the Earth and then, like, behind you where you started? Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
So, like, then you do that,
like... Is there direction involved, though? Like, are you actually traveling, or is it...
I don't know. Just, like... But, like, you do that, like, 100 times, and then you're speeding up the you know, you're traveling faster than the Earth's rotating, so you're... Are you going through time? I don't know.
Let's say you teleport 1 centimeter behind you, and you wind up inside of yourself, and you explode.
Because if it's instantaneous, there are simultaneously two versions of you, right?
In the same place.
At the same time.
So you just die. You gotta be careful not to do that.
So, like, you would be, like, a double man.
Your body would, like, explode.
But no, but before it did, you'd be, like, two people, like, melded together. And it would look really bad.
And it would be really painful, probably.
Yeah,
this like all like your bones would break, and you would
immediately. Oh, that's another thing about teleportation. Like, if you teleport inside something.
Oh no, you don't want to do that.
You forgot about that thing. Like, how do you not do that though? Like, how do you ensure you're not going to teleport in? Like,
I don't know how this teleporting thing works. Do you get like a remote viewer with it?
Sure.
Is that part of the package?
Let's say you get a remote viewer. That's part of the package.
I might never use it. Like, what if you're even like 2 inches in the ground when you do it? There, you have no more feet. Like,
yeah. Well, you still have feet, but they're gone. Well, do you have feet?
They're in the earth.
No, I know, but how does that work? You see, this is where the physics get really weird.
Your feet would be obliterated.
But, like, would they still exist or no?
There would be matter in...
But, like, okay, like, let's say you teleport and you have your arm out and you teleport forward into a wall. So your arm goes into a wall, right? Like, your arm is in the wall, but, like, it's not like the wall has a hole in it suddenly. You know what I mean?
But the wall was like, there first.
Yeah, you didn't punch a hole in the wall. You basically just are overlapping the wall now. So, like, what happens? Like, there can't be atoms in the same, you know what I mean? In the same.
I would imagine the same thing that happens is when you crash into a wall at, like, 500 miles an hour. Like, yes, you're technically on the wall, but not in the proper configuration.
So your arm would just, like, disintegrate or something.
Yes.
That's good. So you're having second thoughts about this power now, I think.
It sounds dangerous, but it would be a cool power.
You'd get a remote viewer. I think that's kind of necessary. Man, teleportation really opens a can of worms. There's a lot of questions about how that would work.
Do you have another question? Or
go ahead. You haven't done any in a while.
How about, what's the one cheese to rule them all?
What's my favorite cheese is basically what this question is.
Yep. Or which, I mean, it doesn't have to be your favorite, but which one rules them all?
I think, like, mozzarella, probably.
Yeah, mozzarella is real good.
It's good no matter what. Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to say because I love cheese so much.
Yeah, I like a whole... There are, like, different cheeses that I like for different things.
The cool thing about cheese is, like, it can be really bad and really good. Like, it's every... Like, it could be, like, if all we knew about food was cheese, like, if that's the only food that we knew existed, like, if we replaced the word food with cheese, people would have as many different likes and dislikes of regular food as there are with cheese.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't think of any other food that has as many variations as cheese.
Yeah, you're right. There's even like different textures. There are liquid-ish cheeses.
I know. There are smelly ones. There are hard ones. There are semi-solid ones.
There's sweet ones.
Sweet ones. There's bitter ones. It's weird. Like, I really don't get it.
Bacteria is a wild creature.
Oh, right. It's all bacteria. Yeah. What do you call someone that makes cheese? Is it cheesemeister?
That's what they should be called.
I think that's what it's called. If I had like a job in like the 1700s, I would want to be like a cheese.
Yeah, I'd want to be the cheese man.
The cheese man. You know what I mean? I feel like that would be a fun job. You know, maybe not fun, but respect. People would respect you.
Yeah, you're like an artist, kind of.
It's the cheese man. Yeah, like you're an artisan. Right, you make the cheese. You probably have like a big like wooden stirring thing, you know, and like one of those big like wooden like paddle ladle things that kind of look like an oar.
I know what you're talking about.
And you're like da da da, and you have like a big vat and you stir it and you make the cheese. You make the cheese.
You have that puncher that you know you walk by the wheels of cheese and you stick it in. And it gets you,
is that how to taste
like
it?
Like a core of it, yeah.
Mm, and then you're like. And you're like, too much salt.
Needs another week.
It's another week.
Like, to do what the cheese does in the cheese room. Whatever, like, you know what I mean.
I like how you don't know anything about how cheese is made. Neither do I, though.
I think that's how it's made. They put it in a room.
They put it in the cheese room.
They put it, and it becomes cheese.
You know, this is an interesting topic, because I don't know if anyone really knows how cheese is made. Like, think about it. Like, think about it for a second. Like, I know how most things are made food-wise, but, like, I can't say. If you were like, hey, make me some cheese, I'd be like, oh, God, I don't even know where to start.
I would take some milk and leave it somewhere, but I don't think that's how it's done.
You take milk, you put it in the cheese room, then it becomes cheese. But like, I know more about how beer is made than cheese.
Yeah,
like,
same.
You know, can you believe that? Like, I don't even know where to begin with cheese. All I know is like, you have milk, and something happens to the milk, and then something else happens to the milk, and then you have cheese, and then that's it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you tasked us with making beer, we could probably make a really bad beer.
It would be really bad, but we could figure it out. You need, like, yeast, you need hops, you need water, you put it in a vat, and you, like, let it, like,
ferment it.
You ferment it, you let it, I think you have to, like, have heat it on it for a little bit, and then it ferments, and then you just leave it for a while, and then it's beer eventually. And it would be really bad, but, like,
it would, technically speaking,
be beer, like, we'd be able to be labeled as beer. Like, it'd be really bad beer, but it would technically be beer. Because
cheese?
It would be fermented, whatever the heck. Cheese, we would end up with spoiled milk. like, I don't know what would happen there. I'm kind of curious as to how to do it. No, I'm going to look up after this episode how to make cheese.
Next time I visit, that's what we're doing.
Like, we're just spend the whole week or whatever. First, I'll need to like separate a room of my house.
Yes, you're gonna need to designate a cheese room, preferably one that is okay if you lose.
If we lose, what?
The room.
The room to the cheese, like the cheese takes.
Like
over.
You might just have to get rid of that room afterwards.
Like it's not the cheese. Like if the cheese goes bad, it like becomes mold or something, and it just takes over all the room. That's the other scary thing about cheese, like. Cheese is just a hop, skip, and a jump away from, like bad things. You know what I mean? Like, it's real close. Like, other food isn't, like, real close. But, like, cheese, like, it's if it's just a little too whatever, it's like, don't eat that. It's toxic. You know what I mean?
Poison.
Yeah. Like, so, I don't know. It seems like, I don't know. I don't even know how you would... How did humans, like, figure out how to make cheese to begin? Like, that... I don't even understand how... I don't know. Like, I could see, like, oh, yeah, we invented the wheel. You know, we invented glasses. You know, we figured out how to make a watch. Like, cheese, I don't know how humans are like, I know how to make a new food. Well, I'm going to leave milk into a cheese room and do some things, and then we'll have cheese at the end of the day.
I think, like, before refrigeration, people just experimented with how to preserve milk in creative ways, and a lot of people got really sick.
Yeah, and then finally they had, like, a eureka moment.
Yeah.
Like, this is it.
Eventually something worked.
Food preservation is a very strange science.
Yeah.
Like, it's advanced a lot, but at the same time, it really hasn't advanced a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they still make, like, meat. They still, like, make beef jerky by, like... Like
leaving it,
dehydrating it, and leaving it somewhere. Like,
it makes you think. Like, are we only tolerable of those foods because we've just eaten so much bad crap
that we're just our bodies are just used to? Like, this shouldn't be edible, but whatever. We've eaten it before; it'll be fine. Kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. Maybe like there's somewhere in Norway that like, or I don't remember one of those countries over there. You know, Scandinavia.
Yeah,
they like fish. And then they, like, dig a hole, and they, like, put the fish in the hole, and then they, like, bury it, and it's supposed to, like, preserve the fish somehow.
Yeah, sure it does.
And then they eat it. Like, they do that. That's how they prepare this fish or something. And this is what I'm talking about. Like, we still preserve food in really weird ways, just nobody, like, thinks anything of it, you know?
I have a feeling if I ate that Norway fish, I would get really sick.
The Norway fish.
Yes.
Well, you could have, you know, you could have a side of cheese afterwards, and it'd be all fine. That was a fun question. You have another one? I have.
Nope. Go ahead.
This is weird. You are now a cat. What do you do first? First thing.
I would.
Curse at God about making me. Why, oh, why am I a cat?
I don't know. I think cats are, like, afraid a lot, so I would probably be very afraid for my life.
Okay, that was a stupid question. I'm going to move on to something else. How do you subtly make people's lives better without their knowledge? Oh, like, you could be a secret Good Samaritan. Like, what's a, like, strategy for secret Good Samaritanism?
So the first thing that's coming to mind is you could follow someone around and be like, hey, you dropped this $100 bill.
That's the first thing that came to my mind, too.
That kind of bad?
It is kind of bad. Like, well, why is it bad, though?
You're violating that person's privacy.
But you're giving them money, though.
But you're, like, you're in their life following them around.
Like, I have this weird guy that keeps following him around giving me $100 bills. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Like, I would hate that guy. I would be really afraid of him.
The question is, how do you subtly do it? Like, without people necessarily knowing you're doing it? I guess that way, yeah, you are being subtle because you're not actually giving it to him. You're like, did you drop this? But I feel like people would be like, no, I didn't drop that, you know? And only the bad people would be like, yeah, that's my $100. Give it here. You know what I mean? I had the same idea as you, but it's, like, more evil. Like, it was follow people around and, like, slip money into their back pocket.
Like, you can't do that.
I know you can't do that, but, like, that's the first thought I had. Like, whoop, and then people are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh,
lost my watch.
Sorry, looking for my cheese room. It's around here somewhere. But, like, you slip, you know, $5 bills in people's pockets or whatever.
I don't know. I think in current society, you just can't do that. It's just...
You can't be subtly nice.
No, you can't be nice to people.
You're not allowed to be nice. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know any ways of subtly making...
I have no idea how you'd do it without, like, breaking someone's privacy or...
You could, like, leave gifts for people somewhere.
But that's weird.
If you have, like, a neighbor you like or something that's going through tough times or something, you could, like, leave a gift on their doorstep.
Yeah, you could, like, cook them dinner. That's what I would do.
But that's not subtle.
Oh, well,
you put the food on their doorstep, and then they're like, "You gave me this food."
They're gonna throw it away. They'll think it's poisoned.
I love how that's the society we live in now. It's just like, "What is this food? I'm throwing this away. It's gonna be poisoned or something." Like, you're right, you can't do anything nice because everyone just assumes you have terrible intentions.
Yeah, like, what is this person trying to pull on me?
Or, like, you knock on someone's door and, like, I'll cook dinner for you. And they're like, what are their, ulterior motives? Like,
who the hell are you? Go away.
Like, no, I'm not letting you into my house. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I never thought about that. Okay. This is... what job would make you make the statement, I had to take my work home with me? What would make that statement incredibly worrying? Like, quote unquote, I had to take my work home with me. What profession of that would make that statement really worrying? Like, nuclear physicist is the first
thought. That's not the first place my mind went.
Where did your mind
go? Sex toy manufacturer.
Yeah! Well, I mean, taking that home would just be like you had, like, a room in your house that you would...
Yeah.
You're
that's
not
my work room.
It's my workshop.
Yeah. I'm imagining he's winking while he's saying it, like, had to take it home with me. Wink, wink.
And there's, like, a door, and it says, like, work... It has, like, quotes, and it says workshop, like, in, like, quote, no, air quote.
It,
like,
it says gone out. Fishing.
And it, like, this workshop has no windows, and it's, like, very dark.
Yeah.
It's my workshop. That's where I do my work.
That's where the magic happens.
And so, like, if you go home early, they're like, Charles, where are you going? Like, why are you leaving early? And you're like, oh, I'll just finish this in my workshop. And then you wink. And then Charles goes, and he winks. And then he takes the whatever thing home to him.
To work on.
Yeah. Okay, I have one more question. It's
okay.
Really fantastic. What products would be sold at an inconvenience store?
Okay. I'm immediately imagining a store where they sell, like, bulk items in really tiny containers. So you have to buy, like, laundry detergent. In candy sized wrapper.
But you just have to buy, but they don't come packaged together.
No.
You'd have to, like, pick out into each individual one.
Yeah.
So you'd, like, fill your cart with, like, these little bitty, like, what, you know, like, I don't know, nickel sized, like,
yeah,
balls of detergent or something.
There are no grocery bags too, so you have to, like, hold it in your arms.
So there's no bags. So yeah, let's just go full scale on this. No grocery bags, no shopping carts.
Nope.
Right? Everything is single package. Like, there's
it's so big that you could never lift it.
What's so big?
Like, the products.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so either the product is enormous or it's, like, really small.
Yes.
So, like, everything's individually wrapped. There's no, like, bulk items. There's no, like, pack of 20. It's just, like, one thing. And they're all really small.
Yeah. None of them are labeled with price.
None of them are labeled. None of them are labeled, period.
And you're only allowed to play with pay with coupons and checks.
That would be so... No one would go to the store. But that's kind of the point, I guess, huh?
Hipsters might.
Oh, wait. There are no... there's a single register.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no line. It's just a free-for-all.
Yeah.
Like, whoever gets there first with their items is allowed to pay first.
Yes.
You know? And you can, like, push people out of the way and stuff.
Maybe there's, like, one self-checkout station
that
and
doesn't
that's
work.
It. And it barely works. Like, you
it's
have to,
like,
scan something like 10 times.
No, that's perfect. Because you have to individually scan each of the items you bought.
Yes.
And it, like, takes like 10 attempts every time you scan it. So, like, if you got like 10, like, you know, nickel sized things of detergent, you have to scan each individually, and they're really small and they're really hard to scan. So it takes like 10 tries. And by the time you're done, like, everyone's already, like, checked out in the regular register.
And every item needs manager approval to make sure you're not stealing.
Oh, they have like a receipt guy at the end that like goes down to your receipt and they individually check off every item to make sure you're not stealing anything.
Yes.
There you go. That's like the perfect store.
It's worst store.
And they're only open on Monday nights. No, what's the most inconvenient day of the week?
Monday.
Monday, not Monday night. Monday between
9 to 5.
No, between 1 p.m. and 4:30. There we go.
And they're open at dinner time the rest of the week. Yes. So from like 5 to 7.
Right. While you're making dinner. Whenever you're making dinner, they're open. Whenever you're like involved, that's when they're open. When you're making dinner and when you're driving home from work is when they're open. That's it. All right. I think I'm out of questions, unless you had a couple more.
I'll save one for the end. You want to do some trivia, though?
I would love to do some trivia. All
right, let's get started. So, welcome to trivia. You'll be answering the questions today. I think the score right now is you're leading by one. I don't know what the exact score is, though.
No, I think it's 10 to 8, because I did trivia last time, and we were at 7. We were 8-7 when that started, and you got all three of them right, so I think it's 10 to 8.
10 to 8 is the score. I'll have you choose your lifelines.
I would like 30 Second Yahoo, Monty Hall, and... No, you know what? I'm going to go weirder this time. I'm going to go 30 Second Yahoo, I'm going to go Omegle, and then I'm going to go Rhyme Time.
Rhyme Time is my least favorite.
I know, but Omegle, I'm not going to get it, so I figure I'd get another one that's like a guarantee.
You got to make up for it.
There you go.
All right, the first question is about sports.
Okay, I don't know anything about sports, but let's do this.
The Venice Cup is for women only, playing what? A, tennis. B, ping pong. C, bowling. Or D, bridge.
That's
the Venice Cup.
My first instinct is to go with tennis, because it sounds tennis-y. Like, Venice is in Italy.
Tennis, they rhyme.
Italy. Not only do they rhyme, but Venice is in Italy. Italy's classy. Tennis is classy. A classy sport. It's a very European sport. So I'm thinking Venice. I don't think it's bridge. I don't think it's bowling, but I guess it could be. I don't see them playing bowling in Venice that often.
They don't have many alleys.
No, I don't think so. I don't know if I want to use my 30-second Yahoo on this one. I don't think Omegle will work on this one. I'll use my 30-second Yahoo. Yeah.
Okay. So that's the Venice Cup for women.
I got it. I'm ready.
And you can start... Let me get the clock up now.
What if my internet goes out mid?
That's tough.
Venice Cup is... Oh my god! Wow! It is bridge.
Bridge final answer.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Wow, that is not what I expected. I was like, there's no bridge thing. Yeah, that is cool. I don't know how to play bridge.
Neither do I, but I would like to learn.
I would like to learn. I've wanted to know how to play bridge ever since I'm a kid, and that's going to sound really nerdy. But, like, I've always been really interested in, like, card games for some reason.
I've heard that it's actually a really cool game of skill that you can have, that you can be really good at. Like, it's not all luck. Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a bridge championship, so, you know, obviously there's some skill, and there's a good amount of skill involved.
No. All right, ready for your next question?
Yeah, we should play bridge one day.
We should learn, yeah. It would be fun. Maybe we could join a bridge club.
Yeah. That's kind of my dream, right? To be in a bridge club.
Yeah, you know, eventually.
Weekly bridge club. Yeah, one day. No. Okay, next question.
What is the fear of knees known as?
What? Okay, fear of knees.
A, patellophobia.
Okay.
B, poplitophobia. C, genuphobia. D, tibiaphobia.
You know the worst part about this question is if I did a rhyme time, you can just rhyme something with phobia and then I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Did you do that on purpose?
No.
Oh, you're good. You're smart. Okay, so tibiaphobia, genutophobia, and what were the other two?
Patellophobia, poplitophobia, genuphobia, tibiaphobia.
Fear of knees.
Fear of knees.
So tibia, I think, is a different thing. So I'm going to eliminate that off the bat. Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
So you're left with patellophobia, poplitophobia, and genuphobia.
I'm going to omegle this thing.
Good luck.
We got this. And I'm not going to even be able to spell these words.
You can start now.
Oh, good. This is going to be good. Hey, what is the fear of knees called? They say... Okay, they're doing what I thought they would be doing at this point. Okay, what are the things? Patella?
Patellophobia. Poplitophobia.
Genuphobia. Or genuphobia. They don't. They say they don't know. That's very helpful.
Tell them to look it up.
Hi, what is the fear of knees called? Please Google for me.
One minute has elapsed.
They say, hey there. They haven't responded yet. I need another Omegle window open. I need to min-max this thing here. Don't you agree?
Yes.
They still have not responded to my thing. I'm just going to copy this. It's going to have you in the... Oh, God. Whoops. Oh, well. If you could see my screen, you would laugh. Because I copied, like, exactly what I said to the other stranger. Mm. But it has, like, the U colon in what I wrote.
Okay.
They haven't responded either. I don't know what that word means. I'm thinking it's a bad word.
They said something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't say it. It might be something.
It's probably a bad word. I'm not going to repeat it. No one has said anything yet. How much time do I have left?
About 5 seconds.
Okay. Oh, did he just respond and I closed it? Oh, he did, but he probably didn't respond with the answer. Okay, so patello.
No. Patello, poplita, and genu.
Patello, poplita, and genu.
Yes.
They also sound potato.
Potato, potato.
Potato, genuphobia. I'm going to go with poplitophobia.
B, poplitophobia is your final answer.
Yes.
It's incorrect.
Oh,
it's genuphobia.
Genuphobia. Oh, wow. All right.
That is the fear of knees.
Well, that's something I never knew, and that was very exciting.
Yeah, these questions were hard.
Well, I'm not done yet.
Yep. You have one question left.
All right, lay it on me.
Who created Bugs Bunny? Okay. A, Bob Clampett. B, Art Davis. C, Tex Avery. D, Chuck Jones.
So before you said the things, I was like, I think it's Tex Avery, because I remember seeing that name. Mm-hmm. But all those names sound very Bugs Bunny creator-like.
They're all Warner Brothers people.
Okay, well, I have a freebie on this one. I'm going to use Rhyme Time.
All right.
Bex Bavery. It's my rhyme, right?
He may have been in the Navy, but he wasn't a baby.
Can you repeat the names? I think it's Tex Avery, though.
Bob Clampett, Art Davis, Tex Avery, and Chuck Jones.
Can you repeat the rhyme again, just because, just for me? I mean, I know what it is.
Yes, I can do that for you. He may have been in the Navy, but he wasn't a baby.
That's a good rhyme. Tex Avery, final answer.
That's the correct answer.
Yes! Oh, that was my first instinct. All right, well, we're officially now all tied up. It's 10 to 10. I think this is the first time we've been tied up in a while. Because most of the time, you know, you've been one behind and I've been getting all of them. But
yeah, I finally caught up.
Well, you didn't. Yeah, you caught
up. I got you with the fear of knees.
Jenny phobia. I'll never forget that. All right. Do you want to do one more question and then we'll call it? Right.
Let's end on one final question. If you lifted a cow every day from its birth, would you eventually be strong enough to lift the fully grown cow?
Well, that is a really good question.
I mean, think about it. A baby cow is not that hard to lift.
No,
I mean,
you're right.
I mean, it's sort of hard. They're not light, but it's doable. That's
actually a fantastic question. It reminds me of that, like, what is it, Zeno's paradox or something with the arrow and it traveling half the distance or whatever, you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't worry about it. So if you did it every single day and lifted the cow, I feel like there would be a day that you wouldn't be able to lift it, right? Like, there's got to be a breaking point.
I mean, does there?
Maybe. I'm going to say...
How much does a cow weigh? What, like a ton?
A fully grown cow?
Yeah. No, it doesn't weigh that much. Like 800 pounds. I think it's like
500 pounds or something. No, 800. Cow weight.
There are humans that
never,
can lift that
never
much.
Never Googled this before. Male cow weighs 2,400 pounds and a female weighs 1,600.
I don't think you could lift the cow.
But, I mean, you would eventually reach a point where... It's more fun as like a kind of a thought experiment though, right?
Yeah.
Because like, would there be a day where you just can't lift it? And if so, would the day before that, would you been able to lift it? You know, that seems like weird, you know?
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
It is weird because you'd think that, I mean, the cow is getting stronger. Couldn't you just get stronger to compensate
for
the cow?
But also from that, like, I don't feel like the day-to-day weight differential of a cow would be so, like, discrete. I think it would be like... more of a continuous, like, it's a small weight gain every day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, you should be able to lift it every day, but there's going to be one day where you, like, can't lift it, and the difference between the cow weight that day and the day before is, like, half a pound, and that's, like, your breaking point, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's
really
cool
weird.
To think about.
Isn't that weird? Like,
yeah.
Oh, I can lift 500 pounds, but I can't lift 500.5
pounds.
Yeah, exactly. That's strange. Okay, that's a good question. So no, you can't lift a cow, but it's interesting. I don't know. Maybe if you trained really hard, you could do it. Sounds like training Dragon Ball Z training.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. It makes me think of Dragon Ball Z. That
like Master Roshi's like, Goku, lift this cow.
No,
until
that, it's that story arc where Gohan is in the wilderness and Piccolo is like supervising him, and Gohan has to learn how to survive.
Yeah, and Piccolo's strengthening training is like, lift this baby cow until it's a full grown cow, and then you'll be really strong or something. And then there's like a montage of him lifting like. 365 days, and then
that's such a Dragon Ball Z story arc too, because then you could have a cute cow character.
Oh my god, then it's like his cow, he'll ride on it and stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like yeah. It's his like companion cow or whatever.
Yeah, like and, Goku yeah. has the Nimbus cloud and Gohan has the cow
that he rides on into battle. That's...
You know, while we're at it too, while Gohan is training lifting the cow, the cow is learning martial arts and can learn how to fly like
nice.
Gohan.
Right, because so they're like mutually training each other.
Yes.
At the same time. So it's like and the cow's like the first Super Saiyan
cow.
Basically. I would watch that.
There's a scene where the evil Saiyans come to the planet and they're using their scouter to look at power levels. And they're going one by one, and they reach the cow, and they're just like, what? What? It can't be.
There's a cow that has a power level. And, and then they take their visor, and they crush it in their hands.
Yes, in their hands.
Because that always happens every single time. They're like, this can't be. Crush, or whatever, right? And then the cow moves at them. And then, yeah, that's the episode. Okay, well, it's been... The Time Bat Show, episode 19. I'm Time Aces.
And I'm Bat Snacks.
And when you're... I haven't thought of a rhyme today, damn it. When you're in a crab... do it like Dad.
Look out for the bag.
The bag.
Don't be drab.
And this is where we end the show. Good night.
Good night. Oh.